1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. This is your turn, a live call-in show featuring spirited discussion and debate about issues that matter to the community. Your turn is sponsored by People's First Community Bank, the best bank in the neighborhood. Stay with us to hear what Northwest Florida thinks. Better yet, call in at 623-1330 and tell us what you think. It's your turn here on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. Now, here's the host of Your Turn.
Good afternoon. My name's Renee Giacchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom, and you're listening to Your Turn, the program that I've dubbed Meeting Nonsense with Common Sense. To learn more about my organization, please visit our website at www.cfif.org. I invite onto the program my first guest. Let me go ahead and give you a snapshot of what we have for the rest of the program. Starting in about a half hour at the bottom half of the program, we're going to play for you an interview that I did at the CPAC conference a couple weeks ago with Tom DeLay. Very interesting interview that we had with Tom DeLay. And that's going to be followed by a second interview with a gentleman named Mark Cowlin, who's put together a group called CafePress.com. They sell some very interesting products, and I had an opportunity to talk with him about some of the political items that they have for sale on their website, and it should be a fun interview for you, hopefully, as well. Then joining us at the top of the hour, I'm first going to start out with an interview that I did with Senator Jim DeMint. And joining us during that interview will be a gentleman named Kieran Laylor. Kieran is actually running for Congress out of New York, but he is also the founder of a very interesting organization, something I think a lot of folks will be interested in learning more about. And we're hopeful that he can join us during the interview and comment as well on Senator DeMint's schedule and what he had to say, and then talk a little bit about he's a retired Marine and a current candidate for Congress, and he has put together an organization to help get some he's the founder of Iraq Veterans for Congress, to get some of them elected into offices. And then finally, at the bottom half of the second hour, starting at 5:30, we'll be joined by Attorney General Bob McDonnell. He's the Attorney General for the state of Virginia, and he's coming on to talk about an interesting issue that a lot of attorney generals throughout the country are facing, and that is, you know, how much of a watchdog they should be, how much of a bulldog they should be as the state's consumer cop. So he's coming on to talk about that issue. Joining me now on Your Turn is Kenneth Bohm. Ken Bohm co-founded the National Legal and Policy Center in 1991, and he now serves full-time as its chairman. He has served as counsel to the Board of Directors of the Legal Services Corporation prior to that, which was a federal program which provided legal assistance to the poor. He joins us this afternoon to talk about a whole host of issues, including union corruption, something very interesting right now, and that I want to make sure that folks are aware of what's going on a little bit close to home as well as throughout the nation. So please welcome to Your Turn, Ken Bohm. Ken, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Renee.
First of all, let me ask you, if you will, please, to give out a little bit more information about the organization that you co-founded called the National Legal and Policy Center.
Sure. We were founded originally and remain today an ethics watchdog group. One of the problems we noted was that the watchdog groups that existed back in 1991, like Common Cause and so forth, overwhelmingly had a bias towards big government. And we felt that big government, more often than not, was a source of many of the problems, and that they ignored ethical issues that involved government, unions, and sometimes even corporations. And so we were founded with a free market orientation, and we saw our mission as exposing wrongdoing, corruption, and we got a pretty good start right at the beginning, because in 93, Hillary Clinton headed up the Health Care Task Force, which was meeting in secret. And our group, along with two others, filed a lawsuit in federal court saying that that was illegal, violated federal law, and we won that lawsuit. And that was instrumental in slowing down a lot of the momentum that the Clinton administration had built up for their type of national health care.
So you've been involved, I see from your organization's history, in a whole host of projects, issues, and lawsuits, really looking at the issue of government integrity and ethics.
That's right. We use open government laws like the Freedom of Information Act, Federal Advisory Committee Act, government in the sunshine and so forth, to see what is actually happening behind the closed doors. There's an old adage, sunshine's the best disinfectant. And so time and again, we've been able to expose some really high-level corruption by just looking a little deeper than sometimes the news media does. And a case in point involved Boeing, which was trying to sell an unneeded tanker to the Air Force, and we discovered that the Air Force official who was negotiating with them, who had just sold her house to the Boeing official with whom she was negotiating, had gotten jobs for her daughter and son-in-law there, and had other financial ties. And that led to an investigation which turned out that she had violated conflict of interest laws. She was convicted. This was a Air Force Deputy Assistant Secretary of conspiracy to violate conflict of interest. And she and Boeing's chief financial officer both were sentenced to terms in federal prison. So that was an example of government contracting where we thought that the taxpayer, ourselves, the National Taxpayers Union, and some other groups that support limited government had all been critical of the Boeing deal. But we decided we would look a little bit deeper as to why the Air Force was falling so strongly for such a pretty much one-sided deal.
All right, if folks want to pull up their website, if you happen to be sitting at a computer and not necessarily driving down the road, yeah, I don't want you to pull it up on your BlackBerry or anything. Their web address is www.nlpc.org, nlpc.org. Obviously, that stands for National Legal and Policy Center. Ken, tell us a little bit about the work that you do as it relates to organized labor and union corruption more specifically.
Well, we noticed over 10 years ago that there really wasn't any one place you could go to find out all the different types of union corruption, which seemed to be rampant at the time and has gotten worse. And so we started putting out a newsletter every 2 weeks. It was free. It's still free. You can sign up for an email copy subscription at our webpage called Union Corruption Update. And every 2 weeks, we do nothing but summaries of stories of indictments, convictions, grand juries, investigations of corruption in unions. And we think this is important not just for union members themselves, who are the people that we talk to an awful lot about it, but we think it's important because one of the reasons that union membership is been on the decline in recent decades has been that lots of working people have decided they don't want to pay dues to a union that is corrupt. And so we've taken a long, hard look at these issues, and we've documented it. And for people looking for this kind of information, they can search our archive, which has thousands of cases, and they can search it by union. They can search it. They can put their state in, or they can do keyword searches. And it's been the basis of a Reader's Digest story. It's been the basis of a front page story in the New York Daily News. And it's a pretty good resource for individual union members who want to find out what kinds of problems their union has had. Or if somebody's in an industry and an organizer is trying to organize them, they can look up that particular local and see what kind of a track record it has. So we think it's a public service to put the information out there where everybody can get it. And everything that we put out is totally documented with news sites and sites to court cases, so that if people are interested in getting even more information about a particular case, they can just follow the site.
Let's spread the web a little bit further on this issue. Obviously, it's of particular interest to individual union members, to folks, you know, maybe organized labor as well, or the people who happen to employ the union members. What about the consumers, the general public? Why should they be interested in issues involving union corruption?
Well, a lot of them are no longer a lot of the cases no longer involve what they call the historically corrupt unions, the longshoremen, the Teamsters, the laborers, the mobbed up unions in New York City, etc. Increasingly, and there have been some major cases in both Florida and Washington, D.C., teachers unions, for example, have had some very high dollar embezzlements. In the Washington case, it was $5 million embezzled from the teachers union by the top officials. And so if you're a taxpayer, and who among us is not, this does have a bottom line effect, because the dollar figures we're looking at are enormous. I mean, unions control hundreds of billions of dollars, for example, in pensions. And that's real money, as they say. And so it is an issue that impacts everybody. And we do tend to get lots more interest from union members and from reporters and researchers and so forth. But in the end of the day, it affects everybody.
And what Florida reference? What were you referring to as it related to Florida?
There was a major teachers union scandal in Dade County involving one of the longtime heads of the teachers union. And I don't believe the dollar figure was as high as the D.C. The D.C., as I said, was $5 million embezzled.
Wow.
But it was high. It was a very large amount of money. And, again, when people think about union corruption, they usually don't think about teachers' unions. They usually don't think about some of the white-collar unions or the government employee unions. And yet, time and again, in recent years, that's where some of the largest corruption cases have taken place. There was one that sort of belongs in the record book. It involved a pension fund, investments for a beneficiary fund for the New York detectives. These are the people who work as detectives for the police department in the New York City area. And they had a figure in the amount of hundreds of millions of dollars in their pension fund. It was about to be wired to a finance company that had been set up and controlled by one of the organized crime families. The FBI, who had gone undercover to look at this sort of corruption, had to break up their undercover investigation because they were afraid if they didn't surface, that huge amount of money, hundreds of millions, would have gone missing, because it would have been wired to an offshore bank, and that would be the end of it. So even police unions are not exempt from this kind of corruption.
And I guess the lesson is, you know, that there needs to be some sunshine, and you guys are shining the light on what's happening, you know, not just, you know, we're talking right now about organized labor unions, but also, you know, some of the projects that you highlighted as it relates to corporate integrity and government integrity as well. Ken, I need to take a real quick break, and when we come back, we've got a caller on the line. Can you stay with us through the break?
Sure.
Okay, we are talking with Ken Boehm. He is the co-founder of the National Legal and Policy Center, and he now serves as the full-time chairman for that organization. You can visit them on the web at nlpc.org. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay tuned.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
We're talking with Ken Boehm. He's the chairman of the National Legal and Policy Center, and we are talking about union corruption and shining the light on other organized labor issues, government integrity issues, and corporate integrity as well. Go ahead, Bill. It's your turn.
Yeah, thanks, Renee. Say, this is off base a little bit, but what about nepotism in Washington, D.C.? How come that's off the radar? I'm out here looking for things in the news media or the print media or TV. You don't hear too much about nepotism, but it's got to be running rampant in Washington, D.C., isn't it?
It is. There's some federal laws that restrict it in certain ways. For example, a congressman can't go and hire his son, daughter, or wife, although some of them did have their spouses working before the law went in effect, and they were grandfathered in. In the federal government, there's restrictions on nepotism, and within federal contracting, there's certain restrictions, and even in you can go so far as to federally regulated nonprofit areas, certain types of relationships have to be disclosed. In unions, which we cover quite a bit, there is a fair amount of it, and let's face it, in politics there's a fair amount of it. All you have to do is look at all the different candidates who are related to somebody else on both sides of the aisle.
Yes, I get that.
So yeah, it's still there.
But it's not, it's not advertised. It seems like it's a blackout that we don't get enough information out here in Radio Land or wherever about what goes on in there about nepotism. It's got to be running rampant. What about Harry Reid, then? I hear he's got three or four sons that are lobbyists.
He's got five sons who are lobbyists.
How many?
Five sons who are lobbyists.
In D.C.?
I think some of them are back in Nevada, which is where the state he represents.
Right.
But, we've found it. We do a lot of original, what we call deep dig research. And one of the things that we brought to attention was Congressman Mollahan of West Virginia, who interestingly got his House seat from his father, who retired and, kind of endorsed him. He'd never been elected anything, became a congressman. We found out he went from being worth a couple hundred thousand to being worth millions of dollars in a short period of time. And we found he did it by doing deals with people who benefited from earmarks. And that case has nepotism in it. One of the guys he steered federal money to was a relative of his. And so suddenly he becomes a multimillionaire. And that's hard to do if you're a congressman and you're obeying all the laws because you can't really moonlight. So, how do these people who can't moonlight suddenly become worth millions unless they write a best-selling book or buy a winning lottery ticket? And we looked at the case for 10 months, found enough evidence, 500 pages of it, that we could take to the Justice Department, the FBI, and they opened an investigation the day there's a grand jury on that case. So, you do find it. The best way to fight it is that it has to be fully disclosed everywhere.
Yeah, other quick comment then. I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan, and this goes back 50 years. I remember I was born in the 30s, but the Teamsters Union in Detroit, you talk about nepotism, you talk about corruption. Do you go way back and check the records of those days in Detroit?
Look at the Hoffa family.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're from Detroit. And it's not just the Hoffa family. It's throughout the upper ranks of the unions. It's almost run like an old fashioned the organized crime model is the family.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find sort of parallels to that in political families. You can find it in union families. You can find it in corporations. You can find it everywhere. The best way to at least get the public so they know it is very strong disclosure laws, and we've been fighting with a lot of other groups here in town to get better financial disclosure, for example, of elected officials, and that they shouldn't be able to keep certain interfamilial financial deals, like the one you were alluding to with Senator Reid and his five sons who do lobbying. Whenever you have an elected official and you have a member of their immediate family who's a lobbyist, I say that's a red flag and it's trouble and it needs to be looked at.
Well, good luck to you in your endeavors, but I don't think it'll come to pass very very quickly with what we have in Congress right today.
It's pretty entrenched. I'd agree with you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
And Bill, by the way, before you hang up, Bill, I knew there was a reason that I really liked you. I grew up just outside of Detroit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to catch up on that another time.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ken, we've got about 2 minutes left, and during the break, I pulled up your most recent union corruption update. It was published, actually, volume 11, issue 4, dated today. Can you take a minute or two and tell me about this rift between the International Union and California affiliate? I know we all know a little bit about the AFL-CIO, but I'm not as familiar about SEIU.
SEIU is the Service Employees International Union. It's not only one of the biggest and most powerful unions. To give you an example, they have said publicly they're going to spend $60 million this election to elect people that answer, that fit their bill. The union itself led the walkout from the AFL-CIO, that split up that occurred 2 years ago, and now they're having a schism of their own because their California affiliate, with over 140,000 members, is saying they're selling out the membership. And it's they always say the bloodiest or the bitterest wars are civil wars. And in this case, the folks in California are saying in order to pad the numbers of union members, because SEIU prides itself in and really being the union that is growing while the others are shrinking, they're cutting sweetheart deals with big hospital chains because their members are healthcare workers, and these deals in effect sell out their own individual workers for the sake of getting numbers. SEIU is one of the unions that early on endorsed the idea of having illegal aliens as members, and they've done quite a bit of recruiting. But it's the argument from the guys in California is they're not doing any real favors for these members because they get them such weak contracts. So that's one that we're watching, because you're talking about essentially the most powerful union in the country, I think.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. We appreciate it. Again, to learn more about the wonderful projects that they are working on, visit the National Legal and Policy Center's website at www.nlpc.org. We've been talking with its chairman, Kenneth Bohm. Thanks so much again for your time this afternoon. We appreciate it, and we'll keep up with the union corruption update. We can get that delivered, as he mentioned. If you sign up for their free updates, they'll send it right to your mailbox. Ken, thanks again. We appreciate it.
Okay.
We'll visit with you again soon. All right, we are going to take a very short CNN break, and then when we come back, I'm going to lead right in. We're going to jump right into two of the interviews that I conducted at the CPAC conference a couple of weeks ago. I'm real excited about the first one. It's an interview that I had with Tom DeLay. A lot of folks remember Mr. DeLay when he served in the House of Representatives, and I had the opportunity to talk with him about what was happening at CPAC and the state of affairs in the political arena, both on both sides of the aisle. He had some interesting comments with respect to that. So the first one is an interview with Tom DeLay. Of course, you will not be able to call in and ask questions, as this was a pre-recorded interview, but I hope, if you've got questions, we can certainly seek to try and get him to come on our program as a guest at a future date. So go ahead and write your questions down, and we'll see if we can't get him to come on the program. But the first is an interview, as I mentioned, with Tom DeLay. Then immediately following that will be an interview that I conducted with an entrepreneur who has started a business called CafePress.com. They sell some very interesting politically charged, politically motivated, and free speech items that are available through their website, CafePress.com, and we had an opportunity to talk with them. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very short break with those pre-taped interviews from the CPAC conference. Thanks so much. We'll be right back.